From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beat California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a street in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator in front. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to this post-Breeders' Cup edition of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are with you in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, 1 week removed from that 33rd Breeders' Cup World Championships, which means we are now turning our attention to the road to the Kentucky Derby. And in case you're wondering, 175 days, 9 hours, 32 minutes, and 25 seconds away from that run for the roses. How about that, JT?
Oh, we'll be here before you know it.
Well, it will. You know, you think about that, 175 days. It is going to go quickly, and we now have a clear-cut leader in the clubhouse in terms of that Derby picture with Classic Empire, who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. We're going to talk about that race. We're going to look back on so many of the other races that were contested over those 2 days. But just wrapping up Breeders' Cup, your thoughts on the entire 2 days of racing?
Well, it was spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, the two signature races, the Distaff and the Classic, you couldn't have two better races, really. I don't think anybody could complain. If you went one day or the other, you were treated to great racing.
Yeah.
And if you went both days, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. The weather was perfect. You know, we had a lot of good contentious races, and there was money to be made. It wasn't all chalky the way people thought it was going to be. And so that was great.
It doesn't happen often that you have the stars align and that all of the stars in the sport perform the way that they're supposed to. We saw that, as you mentioned, on Friday with the Distaff, Beholder, Songbird hooking up at the top of the stretch. They were inseparable all the way, and basically inseparable at the wire, with the exception of that whisker of Beholder's, which got her the victory. And she goes out on top, a winner in her final career start. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it was like half a nostril. It's amazing, though. You know, you're watching the race and you call Beholder the winner. I mean, at least I did, and I'm sure other people did too. And then you see the photo.
Yeah.
And you go, how do you know that? I guess it's just a gut feeling.
Yeah. And I thought she got it too when we were watching it live on the we were doing the broadcast. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's you know, it's one of those things where you're sure somebody won, but when you look at the photo, how could you be so sure?
Right? Yeah, you couldn't. The other races surrounding the Distaff and the Classic, all extremely competitive, very, very good races. A race like the Classic, though, you bring California Chrome, you bring Arrogate. They're the top two choices in the race. California Chrome, North America's all-time leading money earner. He turns for home with the lead. Here comes Arrogate. And, boy, the stage was set for that one, too, and it was another memorable Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people blamed Victor Espinosa for getting beaten. You know, maybe the looking back, that's never good. Satchel Paige told us that many years ago.
What was he looking for?
He was looking for Arrogate.
He got him.
And Arrogate outran him. And a lot of people, I don't think they appreciate how great Arrogate really is. I mean, I think he may be the best horse we've seen since Secretariat. And I firmly believe that. And he might even be better. I mean, I never saw Secretariat run in person, only in a paddock at Claiborne Farm.
Yeah.
But I never saw him race in person. But I'll tell you, this horse is spectacular. He is a running son of a gun. And I wasn't surprised that he ran by California Chrome. I mean, anybody that was at the Travers that didn't think that Arrogate had a good chance to win the Classic was misinformed.
Over the course of the next 2 hours here this morning, we're going to look back on that Breeders' Cup. We're going to look back on it with interview clips from Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, who caught up with Jenny Reese after the Breeders' Cup Classic. We're going to talk to or hear from trainer Mark Cassie, who caught up with Jenny after winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile with Classic Empire. And then in the second half of the program, we're going to be joined by B. Wayne Hughes of Spendthrift Farm, who, of course, the owners of Beholder. We'll talk to Wayne about that amazing ride that he's been on with his champion over the course of the past several years. And then at the end of the show, Phil D'Amato will join us to talk about, obviously, who won the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. That story, in my opinion, one of the more overlooked stories of this year's Breeders' Cup. Obviously, making a fifth consecutive start in the Breeders' Cup. His first four had come in the Breeders' Cup Mile. He starts in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint this year. He gets the victory. There are some emotional elements surrounding that story, which we'll talk with Phil about toward the end of the program. And in between all of that, Brad Green from Washington Hay will be with us to tell you about what's happening there at Washington Hay Company in Georgetown. They have been extremely busy providing their hay and straw to most of the horse farms around Central Kentucky. Well, they can help you at your sales consignment too. We'll do that right around 9 o'clock Eastern time. Our good friend Clark Nyberg from Kentucky Bank is in studio with us this morning. He'll be with us for the next 2 hours to help look back on that Breeders' Cup World Championship. Clark, you not only obviously involved in the business from the business side of Kentucky Bank, but you have been a lifelong horse racing fan, and for you to sit back, take in those 2 days of racing at Breeders' Cup, that had to be special too.
Yeah, first of all, good morning, Mike, Jude, and thanks for having me in. You're right, it was a great Breeders' Cup, just listening to your comments about the races, you know, watching it back here in Lexington. It was amazing. The distaff, I love the fact that Beholder won. Jude, to your point, I thought she had won, and then they kept showing the replay, and then I wasn't sure. And, you know, my wife Susan and I were looking at that, and Susan said, I think Songbird got it. And I said, nah, I think Beholder got it. And then I said, yeah, maybe you're right, Songbird got it. You know, and then finally they put Beholder's number up, and then they showed the photo later. I thought, holy cow, that was amazing. And then the classic, as you said, with Arrowgate, you all had the privilege of seeing him in Saratoga. I hadn't seen him, just read about him, and, you know, watched the Travers, obviously, on TV. He was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And we thought that he would probably get by California Chrome, although Chrome has done nothing wrong this year. So, you know, it was, to me, it was whether or not the older horse with the more experience was going to be able to hang in there, or if the three-year-old is going to really show his stuff, and he did. So,
well, you look at him, too, their physicals. You look at California Chrome, and I mean, he's a grown man. He's a beast. He looks
exactly,
you know, he looks like a running back on the best football team in the world. And then you look at Arrowgate, who's a lot thinner, a lot lighter. He looks more like a wide receiver. He hasn't grown into himself yet. Mm-hmm. And so
that's a scary thought.
That was, yeah. Well, think about it. We know this from Mucho Macho Man a few years back,
yeah.
You know, and he was a Mucho Macho Man late fall and immature. And I don't really think Arrogate's looks as good as he's going to look later on. And from that standpoint, just from the physical standpoint, it was kind of a mismatch. But when you look at the speed figures and the talent, you know, it's pretty close, maybe even leaning a little bit more toward Arrogate because he had run so fast as a three-year-old, much faster than California Chrome had done.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was a really classic, no pun intended, matchup. it was great to watch. It really was.
Let's throw a poll question out there to HRRN Nation. You can weigh in at HRRN on Twitter. And we want to know, in your opinion, what was the performance of the Breeders' Cup? Was it Beholder and Songbird putting on that show on Friday? Was it Arrowgate, California Chrome? Was it somebody else, in your opinion, another race? Maybe it was obviously in the Turf Sprint. Maybe it was Classic Empire in the Juvenile. Maybe it was one of the other races that we got a chance to see. 13 championship races. Which performance, what was the performance of the Breeders' Cup in your opinion? Tweet to us at HRRN. Hit us up on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and we'll try to share those on our social media page for you too. But there are so many options to choose from. You know, you think about the Breeders' Cup Mile and Tepin coming back to defend her crown. She ran extremely well. Miss Temple City, your brother's horse, Jude, ran a monster race. As a matter of fact, I think we were using Michael Rona's call on our radio broadcast, and they turned for home. And I want to say that Miss Temple City was in front, and he made that call. And I actually got chills when he said it because I know how much it meant to you and to your family. I said, man, can you imagine if she keeps going and she happens to pull off this upset in the Breeders' Cup Mile?
Yeah, that would have been really cool. But she ran valiantly, and looks like there might be a chance that she's going to go to Hong Kong now, which will be really cool.
Ooh.
I might even go to Hong Kong.
There you go. Live from Hong Kong, the Pontiff.
Yeah.
They'll like you over in Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah. I'll be big in the game.
They'll like your laugh.
Yeah. I'll get some custom-made suits.
That would be spectacular. I hope that she does make the trip over there.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a once in a lifetime horse.
Yeah,
right?
They're talking about it. You know, I guess she's been officially invited, and they'd like to have her there. So, and my father in law Bob Kiekeffer, he's been pushing for it because he's an international man, as you well know, and writes for the Blood Horse and stuff. But he goes to all the international races, and he really wants to have her over there. He thinks she can win over there. So.
Yeah.
That's a good recommendation. And I was talking to my brother and my nephew yesterday, and every time my nephew talks about it, his eyes get as big as saucers. He loves Hong Kong. He's been there to the races and stuff. So he was really kind of pushing for it. So we'll see. Graham's got a big say in what happens. And so we'll see what happens there.
Clark, I'll put you on the spot. If you had to answer that question, the performance of the Breeders' Cup was which race?
Well, I'd have to say the Distaff.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was such a great race. And I'd have to say, too, the races were actually won money.
yeah.
Were my favorites.
Easy to be biased.
Yes. And that was only a handful, unfortunately.
Well, that's good. A handful is good at the Breeders' Cup.
You know, I bet three races the whole time. We were so busy working, I didn't really have time to get in and handicap the races other than getting set for our broadcast. So I bet Beholder. I bet the horse you liked in the turf sprint, Celestine.
Celestine.
I bet that horse, just because you were high on it, our good friend Rich Nilsson was high on Celestine.
Got a terrible ride.
It just, yeah, didn't really materialize. And then what was the other race? I bet one other race on Saturday, and that was it. And I actually caught the trifecta in it, but it wasn't big.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the juvenile. The juvenile. It wasn't a big trifecta. But, yeah, so all things being equal,
yeah,
there's two out of the three races I can...
I had Tourist in the Mile, and was happy about that.
Yep.
And then Queen's Trust had her. She ran a nice race.
She ran really good. She was one of my big plays of the Breeders' Cup. I was so happy because I started out, as Mike knows, I've been banging the drum for Oscar Performance. I think he's an awesome horse, and I kind of compare him to Big Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And very similar pattern of winning big at Saratoga on the grass, and he's been winning all along and since then, and so that to start off with a big winner overlay and everything, that really set the tone for me. So it was easy to fire when you wanted to, when you already got confidence. So
yeah, that is nice.
Clark, I'm glad you brought up Taurus, because that's a horse in the Mile that's going to no doubt get some votes, because it was the fastest Breeders' Cup Mile in history.
Yes.
And you think about that. I mean, you talk about a performance of the Breeders' Cup. Yeah, Songbird, Beholder, that certainly warrants some consideration there. And same thing with the Classic. But Taurus running the fastest mile in history, that's going to get some votes, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. That was a great race. And Tepin really came along. I thought she might actually pull it off. But it was a great race.
I was a little surprised that there were some people that didn't like Tepin, that thought she wasn't going to run well. There was something going around on Twitter about which horse, you know, which favorite's going to not perform well. And even guys like Steve Bick, who were sharp guys and know what they're doing, that was who he picked to not finish in the money. You know, and I was a little surprised by that because I thought she ran great. You know, we saw, you know, her get beat by Photo Call, right?
Which, exactly.
But that race was so freakish.
It Photo was freakish. Call. Yeah, DeSormo took Photo Call and put the pedal to the metal and said, catch me if you can. And Tepin, I thought, ran a good race that day.
Yeah, and you know who was like that in the Breeders' Cup? Highland Reel. I mean,
He ran
an amazing race, and that race will probably never be duplicated. I mean, that was one of the greatest rides, one of the greatest thefts of a race I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know what's more shocking, the fact that Beholder got her nose in front over Songbird, or the fact that Mike Smith didn't get Songbird's nose in front, because the guy, again, in the Breeders' Cup was En Fuego. At 51 years old, he's probably riding as good as he ever has in his entire career. Now, he's getting on really good horses, too. But he picks up another, three Breeders' Cup victories over the weekend. The guy's just absolutely incredible.
How about Gary Stevens going to Oaklawn for the winter?
Yeah.
What the heck is with that?
Interesting decision. He wants to hang with Rolly Hoyt.
Interesting.
Well, and you mentioned Mike Smith, and of course, Gary Stevens got Beholder up. And, you know, both those guys could have AARP cards.
Yeah. So. Well, Gary's older than Mike, right? Isn't Gary?
I think Gary's
50,
a year younger.
253? I was thinking he was older.
They're close. Yeah. They're in their 50s.
We'll have to find that out. On the other side of the coin with the trainers, four trainers picked up their first win in a Breeders' Cup race. You had Ian Kruljack with Finest City in the Filly and Mare Sprint. You had Brian Lynch with Oscar Performance, who Jude talked about. Peter Urton with Champagne Room in the Juvenile Fillies, and then Phil D'Amato, who joins us around 9:45 Eastern this morning. He, of course, settled, obviously, to win that turf sprint. So congratulations to all those individuals, and that hard work finally paying off, and they get that first win.
Yeah, how about Ian Kruljack? That filly totally escaped me.
Finest City?
Yeah, I had no feel for her whatsoever. And then I found out later that my son had made a major wager on her. And I go, well, thanks for telling your old dad, you know.
Yeah.
You might have mentioned it somewhere. It wasn't like I didn't see you all Breeders' Cup week.
Thanks, kid. Yeah.
But he was doing the camera for XBTV, and he liked the way she trained. And I guess he had talked to somebody when they were doing interviews or something, and they indicated she was doing great. So he had that information, but he didn't share it with his old dad.
Well,
that was costly.
And then you had Bob Baffert, who knows a thing or two about winning Breeders' Cup races. He earns his third consecutive win. Think about that, an unprecedented third consecutive win in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Just incredible. And we're going to hear from Bob, and he's going to talk about that classic when we come back. You're going to hear from Bob Baffert, and you'll hear from Mark Cassie talking about juvenile winner Classic Empire. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man was a precocious two-year-old, finishing runner-up in both the Grade 2 Nashua and Grade 2 Remsen, despite being a June 15th foal. As a three-year-old, Mucho Macho Man displayed his classic ability with an impressive win in the Grade 2 Risen Star before a game third-place finish in the Kentucky Derby. As an older horse, Mucho Macho Man dominated his competition with Grade 1 wins in the Awesome Again, Suburban, Gulfstream Park Handicap, and Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mucho Macho Man and Gary Stevens as they take the Grade 1 Awesome Again in effortless fashion.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126 Suburban.
And Mucho Macho Man has won the Gulfstream Park Handicap.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they ask, the more he gave.
An earner of $5.6 million. Mucho Macho Man's first foals arrived this spring. Learn more by visiting adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pin hooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion, all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at nicholsoninsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
Multiple Grade 1 winner First Samurai by Giants Causeway got off to a quick start at stud, siring Grade 1 winners in each of his first three crops. His talented son, Lee, captured the Grade 1 Don Handicap in record time and retired to stud with over $2.3 million in earnings. Sovereign Award winner Stacked Deck captured the Grade 3 Bold Venture Stakes and Grade 2 Kennedy Road Stakes, both just a tick off track record times. First Samurai at Claiborne Farm.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Arrogate, the solitary three-year-old, is sweeping after him in earnest as they race well clear of Melatonin. Frosted is next from Keen Ice. Top of the stretch, California Chrome is a length in front, but he faces an uncommon opponent today. Arrogate tries hard to reel in California Chrome. California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beat California Chrome. They were 10 lengths clear of Keen Ice, and Opportunity was fourth. Back in fifth position would be Melatonin.
Michael Rona with the call of that Breeders' Cup Classic last Saturday, and Arrogate in the shadow of the wire, finally getting past California Chrome, who was extremely game in the stretch. Didn't want to let Arrogate by, but finally Arrogate prevails and gives Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert a third victory, third consecutive victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And for Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith, it's Classic win number four. So congratulations to all of those connections. And, of course, the owners of Arrogate, a really powerful performance. By the way, let me touch on this with you guys. Mike Penn and Jude Feld, special guest co-host Clark Nyberg from Kentucky Bank in studio with us this morning. The dam of Arrogate, Bubbler, going under the gavel at the Fasig Tipton November sale, RNA'd, right, for what, 4.8
Seven,
million?
4.7.
7 million, right? Yeah. Are you kidding me? I mean, how much do you need?
Well, you know, it's really kind of, I always say, horses are worth what you can make soup and baseballs out of them.
Right.
Now, people don't like when I say that, but I don't really care, because that's
soup and baseball.
That's the truth. I mean, they're, you know, they're on the hoof. And so, you know, after that, it's all in your mind what a horse is worth, right? It's,
yep.
It's all you're betting on the come. So here's the dam. Let's say I'm right about Arrogate being the greatest horse in Secretariat. So now you have a chance to buy the mother of the greatest horse that ever lived. She's relatively young. She's going to have more foals. But, you know, how many more Secretariats were produced out of a mare, right? Out of his dam, none. It's baffling. And I understand, I'm not sure about this, but I understand that the reserve was like 4.9. So $200,000, you're going to blow 4.7. I mean,
that's just greed, right?
Well,
I mean, greed. I mean, what it is.
It is. I mean, you would say, I would say yes. I mean, it's bizarre.
Right.
It's bizarre that you would turn down 4.7 million.
In this economy for a horse.
Well, in any economy.
In any economy, right.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it just
editorializing, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense. But hey.
Hopefully we're in a position to make that call one day, though.
Well, that will never
that be nice.
That will never be me. I mean, I hear about these things, you know, like not this time. They were, before the Breeders' Cup, they $7 million. They were talking about, you know, syndicating him out based on $7 million. Like, really? I mean, where did we pull that number from? You know, I don't get all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because Mr. House had a filly win at Keeneland, and the guy called me after the race, and He goes, would that filly be for sale? I said, yeah, $1 million for half. I just threw it out there just for Mr. House was sitting right next to me on the sofa. We were having cocktails celebrating the victory, right? And I said, yeah, $1 million for half. And Mr. House says to me, yeah, tell him the back half. and the guy goes, is that price firm? He thought I was serious. I was joking. Right? She just broke her maiden at Keeneland. Now, granted, it was an impressive race and Joe Bravo loved her and blah, 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 blah. But I mean, this is the business that we're in now.
Right.
Like, it seems like every horse that breaks their maiden at a major racetrack, everybody's on them. Somebody wants to buy them, and the prices are crazy.
I mean, I just don't know how you walk away from $4.7 million.
No, I don't either.
I mean, now it's not our horses. It's their prerogative.
Right.
They don't have to take they don't take the 4.7. But I don't
know. If you're a very, very, very wealthy person and you want to own that mare, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You know? But if you put her in the sale, if you're actually thinking about selling,
correct, right,
and somebody offers you $4.7 million and you don't take it, well,
yep,
you know, shame on you. That's what.
I agree. And you know, if I was ever lucky enough to own a horse that was aimed for the Kentucky Derby, I would probably never be a Kentucky Derby owner because somebody would come up and offer me some obscene amount of money, and I'd say, okay,
yeah. It's hard to pass up
because
the very next day, one bad step in training or whatever it might be, it could all be over.
Right.
And
that's
then you got nothing.
And I've said that for years. I mean,
this game's too difficult.
I never knew that I thought like a banker because if you'd seen, you know, my fiscal responsibility, it is certainly not very good. I always said that. I said, somebody would say, cause I used to breed some horses and sometimes they'd be halfway decent and, you know, somebody would say, oh, maybe that the horse could be a Derby horse, you know? And I go, well, I'll never own it because when Sheikh Mohammed offers me $5 million for it, it's gone. I never had any delusions that I was ever going to win the Derby with a horse that I bred because I wouldn't own it at the time. I would be more than happy to be the breeder of a Derby winner, but you know, I would have taken the big cash and moved to Barbados.
Yeah.
Like everybody should do.
There you go.
Why not? By the way, our thanks to the folks at Barbados and visit Barbados.org for all their support throughout the year here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and as the title sponsor of our Breeders' Cup coverage last week, thanks to them. We gave away live sport radios, which were a tremendous hit, more than I ever expected. We got so much positive feedback on people that were using the radios at the Breeders' Cup. Many people asked us to bring them to other events and do them in other events. Of course, those are expensive. We need sponsorship for those things, so hopefully up the road we can do that. But they were a tremendous hit, and folks registered to win a trip to Barbados, a free trip to Barbados, and they got a radio absolutely free. And we're going to draw that winner coming up right around 8:55 Eastern time this morning. So stay tuned for that. We'll pull a name out of the hat, and somebody's on their way to Barbados in just a little bit.
Yeah, that'll be a great trip and a lot of fun, beautiful place. You'll really enjoy it.
All right, Bob Baffert took the time to talk with Jenny Reese in the media right after winning the Breeders' Cup Classic. Here's what he had to say.
Going in, you know, we really thought that Arrogate, you know, we thought, you know, he's going to have to be a super horse. He's going to be California Chrome. And, you know, the only time we ever let him really run was Mike Smith when he let him run in the Travers. So, and coming into this race, we just thought, I left it up to Mike Smith. He was on the outside. I think everybody expected us to, you know, try to wrestle the lead away from Chrome, but Mike decided that, you know, he's just going to sit back, just play it by ears, play the break, and this horse, when we work Arrogate, we actually never work him very, you know, like fast, you know, his speed, but he always works behind horses and can rate, so going in, you know, I thought we could, it's going to be a tough, tall order if you're going to beat him with a young horse like this, but I wasn't, you know, we were, you know, hopefully we're hoping maybe, you know, if he can beat Chrome, but, you know, down deep, I thought, I know, you know, he's going to have to be a super horse to beat Chrome. And that's what we saw. When they turned for home, I thought, well, I told my wife, Jill, I said, well, we're not going to catch him. He's gone. You know, we're going to run second. You know, that's not, you know, it's not disgraceful or anything like that. But I was a little bit like, man, I was hoping that he was, you know, you're always hoping for that super duper racehorse. And all of a sudden, when Mike switched to his right lead and was down riding, I could see that Arrogate had just zeroed in on Chrome. And you could see him just making up the ground with those big long stride of his just eat you up. And it was when he came to the wire, I mean, I've lost my voice. I haven't yelled and cheered that hard for a horse in years, I'm telling you. So
since last year, maybe?
No, not really, but Pharaoh was over. It was over pretty quick, but it was probably since Byron when he won the Classic, but it was like, it was so exciting to see him, you know, beat a horse like Chrome. And on the biggest day of the year when the whole world is watching, and this is what's why you're in the business, you know. It's all about, you know, bring it on the big day. So it was an exciting race. You know, the race that we saw all week, the distaff, all these races were just incredible. Even the sprint stake. I mean,
Dre Fong. Mentioned Dre Fong.
Dre Fong, I mean, he's another one. I thought I was going to run second, you know, and then all of a sudden he got to the eighth pole and he just dug in and he just, you know, he kicked it in another gear and held that other horse off. So it just makes you proud of your horses and everybody that, you know, my whole team, you know, all my everyone that works for me. We work so hard to be great on these big days.
That's Hall of Famer Bob Baffert with Jenny Reese the day after winning the Breeders' Cup Classic, and some great comments there. And Bob was indeed hoarse, so to speak, no pun intended, but his voice not quite what it usually is because he was yelling so hard for Arrowgate and cheering so hard for him. Pretty remarkable stuff from Bob.
Yeah, well, you know, I tease him all the time about becoming a great trainer when he got into the Hall of Fame, and he's just one of those guys that – he can point for a race like all the great trainers in the past have been able to do. And Dre Fong, actually, to me, was the greatest victory for him of the Breeders' Cup, because he had been pointing Dre Fong to the Breeders' Cup sprint for over a year.
Yeah.
And everything he did with that horse during the year was all for that one race. And he got the job done. And that's just phenomenal, and it was great to watch during the year. You know, I don't know how many people knew that that's what he was doing, what he was pointing for, but he had a plan, and everything kind of went to plan, which it doesn't always do in racing, but he pulled it off, and I thought that was just awesome. I mean, Arrogate, you know, he's kind of come on late. He's been a surprise. You know, he wasn't even running when California Chrome won the Dubai World Cup. So that's, you know, that's a very late development and kind of surprise to everyone, including Bob. I mean, I don't think Bob knew originally that this horse was going to be that great, but amazing Breeders' Cup for Baffert. And of course, you know, home track and he's got a legion of fans. So it was a great Breeders' Cup for him.
It was a great Breeders' Cup for Bob. And Jude, you mentioned Arrowgate coming on late, and it might be worth reminding listeners why he came on. So I think a lot of people think, well, where was this horse for the Derby and the Triple Crown? But what did get him started so late?
Well, I don't really know. I never really talked to Bob about that. I didn't know much about the horse till Travers Day.
Yeah. Then everybody
actually
knew about him.
You know, I got a message from a friend of mine, Lee Weber, and Lee told me that Jeff Siegel had said, you will never get 10-1 on this horse ever again. And when I heard that, Jeff Siegel was my first client as a trainer.
Okay.
And I have the utmost respect for Jeff. And when I heard that, I go, wow, that's a big statement coming from Jeff.
Yes.
And, That was actually, I was at Saratoga on Travers Day when I got that message. And it was then that I thought, this horse must be really, really good. So I had planned on betting other horses and whatever, and I changed everything up at the very last minute. And then was treated to that performance, which was one of the most incredible races I ever saw. I mean, the horse broke out of the gate and he just kept getting farther and farther in front.
Yeah, how about this? Yeah. It's going to set up an unbelievable rematch if indeed they both go to that Pegasus World Cup, formerly the Don Handicap, at Gulfstream Park at the end of January. Of course, we'll be there to broadcast that race. But can you imagine California Chrome, Arrowgate squaring off in a rematch at Gulfstream? It's going to be California Chrome's final start, most likely. maybe the passing of the baton in that division, if indeed Arrowgate can win. I know he's a three-year-old, but if he can win, maybe looking ahead to next year, maybe the passing.
Well, he'll be
the
four
baton.
Then.
He'll be four.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He will be four. That's right. He'll be in January.
But,
right.
but he won't be. He won't be seven or six.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So he still won't be fully mature.
Right.
But he'll be a little older.
It's going to be amazing. I hope it comes together. I hope that happens. This is typically the time we would bring you our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, but we do have that Mark Cassie piece we want to bring your way. Talking with Jenny Reese after Classic Empire won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. We're going to hold that until after our next commercial break. We'll do it in the next segment. Want to tell you, though, if you are in the market for a new vehicle, pre-owned vehicle, whatever it might be, you go see Tony Ottiano, the godfather, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've been telling you this for more than a decade on this program. They will take care of you. My Lexus is simply sensational. I've had it for a few years now, and I wouldn't drive anything else. It's simply remarkable. And everything you hear about the vehicles is true. Go out there, test drive one. And remember, they want to be the dealership of the equine industry in Central Kentucky. They will take care of you at the Lexus store of Lexington. We're back right after this short break to hear from Mark Cassie talking about Classic Empire.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Ottiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
Tapazar's going to keep Royal Trip at bay, and Tapazar a sterling performance today.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler. At stud, Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. Tapazar is currently ranked number 4 on the freshman sire list with two more exciting 2-year-old winners in Japan.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
5/16 to go, and Classic Empire draws alongside Syndergaard. They're two lengths in front from Not This Time, and Practical Joke getting up towards the inside within striking distance, swinging for home. Three Rules are swimming in deeper waters today. 3/16 from home, and Classic Empire clear by 2.5 lengths to Not This Time, who's finishing on determinedly. He's wandering about just a tad. Classic Empire to the 16th, about 1.5 lengths. Not This Time is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, Not This Time, Classic Empire by a neck, Not This Time. They finished a straight in front of the rest. Practical Joke was third, and looking at Lee from last into the superfecta.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Pennon, Jude Feld, and Clark Nyberg from Kentucky Bank. Looking back on the Breeders' Cup from 2016, of course, last weekend, it was on. Everything happening last weekend at the Great Race Place in Arcadia, California, at the foothills of those majestic San Gabriels, JT.
Yeah, there you go.
I had to throw that in.
876 times you said majestic San Gabriels.
Purposely did that one for you.
Yeah,
that was just for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, having spent the bulk of my life staring
they're
at
not
the
as majestic
scan. They are. I'll tell you, they are beautiful, and they change. You know, you hear about purple mountains majesties.
Right.
Some days they're purple. Some days they're green. Some days they're gray.
It would have been cool if they were purple for Breeders' Cup.
Some days they're, when I think they're the most beautiful is when there's snow on them, which doesn't happen all the time because it doesn't snow a lot in Southern California. But on the days, I will remember one day very vividly. I think I was in high school, and Roger Clapp, who was a great California trainer, he trained a horse named Against the Snow. And he was a, you know, kind of a middle distance type of horse. He was very good down the hill. And there's snow on the mountains, like, you know, some wispy clouds, as you like to call them. It was just beautiful. And Against the Snow won. And his picture was plastered on almost every newspaper because, mm-hmm. you know, Against the Snow winning when there was snow on the mountains, it was kind of a Swami angle kind of a thing. But I remember that day, and it was a beautiful, beautiful day at Santa Anita. And, you know, those days you just have to appreciate them. And then there were other days. Well, here in our studio, we have a picture of Bill Shoemaker going into the winner's circle on a horse named Grand Aries. Now, this is an old picture that a friend of my brother's took when we were in high school.
Yeah, black and white photo.
And it's autographed by Bill to me. But it looks gray in the background, and you can barely see the tote board. That's how smoggy it used to be when I was a kid. And you could not see the mountains some days. And you could barely see the tote board. That's all smog. It was not cloudy. Right. It was a warm, sunny day. Grand Aries was trained by John Sullivan, owned by a lady named June Sifton. I remember this like it was yesterday. And you could not see the mountains. And my friend Paul Asanessi, who used to train horses, he's now a basketball coach. Paul actually sent me a tweet a couple of weeks back and talked about, remember when we were kids and you couldn't breathe, like your lungs would hurt. I mean, it was like living in China. Right. I mean, there was so much bad air. And now with the new gasoline and stuff that they've had in California for many, many years now, 30, 40 years.
Unless there's a fire, it's usually crystal clear.
The air's much, much cleaner. But right. I mean, yeah, that's how bad
wow.
it was.
Wow.
So,
not good.
We used to have smog alerts where like you couldn't have gym class, or, you know, they'd make the kids stay in their classrooms and stuff with the air conditioning because it was.
That's scary so when you look at that picture and that smog and not fog.
Yeah. Yeah. we wonder.
I always thought it was fog in that
A
picture.
Lot of us that grew up in that era, we all wonder why, you know, we haven't gotten lung cancer or something because it was really bad. I mean, it was noticeably bad.
Well, that couldn't have been good for the horses either.
No. Definitely was
trying
not.
To run.
Yeah. Michael Rona had the call coming out of the commercial break of Classic Empire winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile over Not This Time. And as you heard him say, they were a street ahead of the rest, well clear of everybody else. And here's what trainer Mark Cassie had to say when he caught up with Jenny Reese the following morning after Classic Empire's victory.
It was quite a race. It was he ran hard, he ran fast, and just
lucky to have him. He's extremely smart. Nothing really bothers him, and he's got good tactical speed, but he can raid as well. So, he can be placed anywhere in a race, which is always important. There was a lot of speed in the race, so I was a little surprised that we were so close. And, they were running. Julian was, I think he was surprised. He said going down the backside, Johnny was letting Syndergaard run along, and he couldn't believe how easily our colt was keeping up. So he said he always felt comfortable. And, he has a very quick turn of foot, and he's got a high cruising speed. They were moving right along in the Breeders' Cup, and he was doing it quite easily.
What are the immediate plans, and how might you get him back to Churchill Downs for the first Saturday of May?
Well, he's going to fly back to he'll fly back to Kentucky in the next day or two, and probably go down south to Palm Meadows with Norman, and then we'll play it from there. We'll see 2, possibly 3 preps before the Derby. We're just going to have to see what he tells us.
What about golf? Would Gulfstream seem the most logical route at this
point? I think so. I normally don't like to run big, deep closers at Gulfstream, but with this horse's speed, I think Gulfstream will suit him just perfect. So I would say his preps will probably come at Gulfstream. It was a day. It was just an unbelievable day, winning with Classic Empire, and then Valdorna running so well, and then Teppan, she came with her A game. She ran her rear end off, and just maybe was a little unlucky not to win. Of course, we would like to have won, but we came away from there with our heads held high. You know, there was a lot of speculation and going into the race. A lot of people said, well, maybe she's not the same Teppan she used to be, but she proved yesterday she was.
And what might be her future plans?
Well, the plans are, last night I talked to Mr. Masterson, and the plans are to run her again next year. He just informed me this morning we may be going to Hong Kong, but we'll see how that plays out.
Going to Hong Kong. You might want to rethink your decision, JT, with Miss Temples.
Yeah, well, I don't know who's running in what race, or I have no clue what's going on with that, but I'm a sportsman. I think it's a great idea to go to Hong Kong.
Tremendous.
Who knows? And who knows what Teppan's going to do too. But I think Mark Cassie and Graham Motion will figure it out, and they can decide.
Yeah, and it sounds like they have a plan mapped out to get to Churchill Downs on the first Saturday in May with Classic Empire. If he could get there and win the Derby, he would be the third juvenile winner to go on and win it, joining Street Sense and Nyquist, who did it last year, Clark.
Right, and this was one of the handful of races that I mentioned that I really liked because I won money. I had Classic Empire, and I saw him run at Keeneland, really liked what I saw, and I tend to get favoritism around horses I actually get to see, and I thought he was pretty impressive. Now, you guys were at the Hopeful, right? Were you still in Saratoga when they ran the Hopeful?
We were not.
You were not. Okay.
No, that was right after we had left.
Yeah. And I never saw a replay of that race. So I don't know exactly what happened when he dumped Ortiz coming out of the gate. It sounded like he wheeled and just pitched him onto the dirt.
Yeah. It was from all accounts. The horse had never done anything like that before, but I was on the roof at Keeneland when he won. And, the same day that you were there, and I did my own ISO camera. I watched no other horse in the race. I said, I think this horse has a lot of ability, and I'm going to watch him and not worry about the rest of the field. I'll go back and watch the replay if somebody emerges or whatever, but I want to see this horse. And Julian Leperoux rode the horse with utmost confidence. I mean, he broke him out of the gate. He's in the outside post. Ideal place to try to wheel again. You know, he had one horse outside of him, I think, but I mean, Julian just broke him out of the gate like he'd never done anything wrong in his life, rode him absolutely perfectly. The horse had a great trip and won super easy. And I was impressed with him. I thought, wow, this is a nice horse.
He was very impressive.
And you mentioned, gravitating to the horses that you see. And that's a phenomenon that happens to everybody, you know, and you have to guard against that sometimes when you're handicapping, because sometimes you'll let a better horse go because you didn't see him.
That's true.
And it's something that I have to guard against a lot, because I see a lot of races. We're very fortunate to do what we do and be able to see a lot of horses run. But there's some horses that I don't see. And, you know, you don't want to dismiss them just because you never saw them run.
When Clark said you guys were at the Hopeful, and every time we've been asked that question throughout the year, we've been able to say, yeah, we've been there. But that's one race.
That's one race we missed.
Somehow eluded us this year. Well, I don't know what happened.
You were dying to get home to the Steeler fish tank.
Yeah, I did have to get home.
That was it.
By the way, we're down to 4 fish. Yeah. From my defense of 11 has been seriously depleted.
It's kind of like the Steelers team. It reflects the team.
It does.
The injury-ridden Steeler team.
It's brutal.
Yes.
It's brutal. But anyway. All right. We're about 5 minutes away from giving away that trip for two to Barbados. For those of you who signed up to get a live sport radio on site at the Breeders' Cup, you entered to win that trip. Stay with us. We're going to do that when we come back, and we'll get you set for a busy second half of the program. And it's all right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Bred for greatness and a brilliant Grade 1 winner on the track, Airdrie Studs Creative Cause is giving every indication that his may be a very special future at stud. Already represented by the undefeated and dominant Landalusi Stakes winner, the one we waited for, Creative Cause currently sits second on the first crop sire list, and with impressive maiden special weight winners throughout the nation, appears poised to lead this banner stallion crop in 2016 and beyond. Airdrie Studs Creative Cause. Think about it.
Mark your calendars for the 4th annual Land of Enchantment Day on Wednesday, November 23rd from Zia Park. 12 thoroughbred and quarter horse stakes races worth more than $1.6 million in purse money. Featured races are the $300,000 Zia Park Oaks, the $200,000 Zia Park Derby, and the $150,000 Zia Park Championship. First post is 12:15 p.m. Mountain Time, 2:15 Eastern. Horse Racing Radio Network is the exclusive radio host for the Land of Enchantment card and Penn Gaming Racing Challenge.
Hey everyone, Mike Penna here. If you're in Kentucky and you love wine, you need to experience Lover's Leap Vineyards and Winery in Lawrenceburg. Just a short drive from Lexington, Lover's Leap is one of the oldest and largest vineyards in Kentucky. Stop in for an educational wine tasting or do what I love most. Simply kick back and relax on their wraparound porch while enjoying the view with a glass of their exceptional wine. And I can tell you, their wines are the perfect fit for all of your farm and company parties. So stop by for a visit today. It's Lover's Leap Winery in Lawrenceburg.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalabadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You know, I've been telling you for a few weeks now that if you are here in central Kentucky, and you are looking for an ATV, a side-by-side, whatever it might be, for your farm, for recreational purposes, there is really just one place to go, and that's the place that I went to get my side-by-side that I use on the farm, and it is simply spectacular. I've been extremely pleased with the customer service I received and with the product that I purchased, and that's at MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky. Now, you go see Mark and Trish Smith, and trust me, they're going to take care of you. Their entire staff, extremely knowledgeable, extremely friendly, and they're passionate about off-roading. MLS Power Sports is Kentucky's largest Arctic Cat dealer and Central Kentucky's largest pre-owned off-road dealer. It's a great time to get your new side-by-side or ATV. And again, if you're looking for one for the farm, for recreational purposes, it's MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky. You go see Mark and Trish, and you tell them that the Baron sent you in, told you to say hello, and told you that you need to get your new ATV from MLS Power Sports. And you can visit them on the web, too, MLSPowerSports.com. You can.
You really can.
Yeah.
Go get one.
Go get one today.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to build drama. See, I went silent there for a minute because I'm trying to build up the suspense and the drama because it's time to give away a trip for two to Barbados.
You think you could teach listener. That silence thing to Kurt Becker and Jeff Bloom?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't know.
If you go silent too long, though, on the radio, people are saying, oh, my radio's broken. They turn
right.
it off.
That's right. Yeah. You can't go dark too long.
Vince, no, that's right.
Vince Scully, the master of silence.
Absolutely.
It is time to give away that trip for two to Barbados. And to do the honors for us, our good friend Clark Nyberg here is going to draw out one name of all the people that registered during Breeders' Cup week. And there were hundreds of people that took the time to register. Clark, who's going to Barbados, my friend?
Well,
let's draw it out.
Let me dip into this bag. It looks like you've got, I'd say, well over 1,000 cards
tons,
in here.
Tons.
So
yeah.
We'll...
Here we go. The trip.
We'll go down into the middle of the pack and... Oh, look, it's Clark Nyberg.
Well done.
All right. Nah, just kidding. Evelyn Campart.
Evelyn Campart.
Evelyn Campart.
Okay. Evelyn Campart is our winner of a trip for two to Barbados. So, Evelyn, if you are listening, congratulations, and we will be in touch, and we will line everything up for you so you can head to Barbados and enjoy it just like we do each and every year, and can't wait to get back there that first Saturday in March for the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup.
Yeah, it's a great event, and Evelyn, if you schedule your trip around then, you'll get the pleasure of meeting us.
But, that guarantees you she will not schedule her trip.
That's probably true.
She'll be going in like December.
How exciting. That's great.
Yeah.
And Evelyn, if you need somebody to go with you,
that's right.
I'd have to get my wife's permission on that, and I'm thinking that ain't going to happen.
Yeah. So. How about
that?
I don't
know. She might be happy to get rid of you for
a few
days.
That's true. Yeah.
I know my wife would.
How about that for making a score at the Breeders' Cup? You show up just expecting to bet races. You see our live sports radios. You sign up for a trip to Barbados, and all of a sudden you're heading there, trip for two.
Nice.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, we can't wait to get back there in early March. We'll be there again to bring you that coverage of the Barbados Gold Cup right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And once again, our thanks to Barbados Tourism. Visit Barbados.org for all of their support throughout the year and throughout Breeders' Cup. And our thanks to Gulfstream Park as well, because Gulfstream, the title sponsor of our HRRN and Espanol Spanish broadcast throughout the year, including our Breeders' Cup coverage, which, by the way, we have gotten great feedback from the Spanish-speaking community all over the world who tuned in and was able to hear the Breeders' Cup in Spanish with our team, and they did a great job, and we can't thank them enough and thank Gulfstream for all their support in making that possible.
Yeah, it was fantastic to be able to be the originators of that Spanish speaking broadcast, and so many people throughout the world would like to enjoy the Breeders' Cup in Spanish, and they got to do it this year. Very, very cool, and hats off to you for coming up with the idea, and to Roberto for really spearheading the whole show.
Yeah, a record number of listeners from countries like Venezuela, for example, tuning in to our coverage in Spanish this year. So again, a huge success. We can't thank Gulfstream enough, and we can't thank the folks with HRN and Espanol, our entire team, for doing a tremendous job there throughout those 2 days. You can check out HRRNandEspanol.com, because at 10 o'clock Eastern time this morning, they will look back on the Breeders' Cup in Spanish with the Blando de Abismo. That's called Talking Racing, and you can tune in Spanish 10 to 11 Eastern time every Saturday morning. All right, busy second half of the program. It kicks off with Brad Green from Washington Hay, then B. Wayne Hughes from Spendthrift, and Phil D'Amato coming up next. Stay with us right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network and the Equine Forum, your home for all of horse racing's biggest events.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beat California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a straight in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator in front. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on the Horse Racing Radio Network. A special welcome to everybody joining us on our affiliates across the country and on Sirius XM Channel 93 and everyone listening worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Listeners in more than 170 countries have made HRRN their home for racing programming and for racing coverage. Make sure you do the same at horseracingradio.net and follow us on Twitter at HRRN on Twitter. Guys, had a poll question. By the way, Mike Penn and Jude Feld, special guest co-host Clark Nyberg from Kentucky Bank with us in our Lexington studios, had a poll question we threw out there this morning. The poll question was pretty simple. What was the performance of the Breeders' Cup in your opinion? And there are several choices that you could pick from. Obviously, 13 championship races, but some stood out more than others. What was the performance of the Breeders' Cup in your opinion? Weigh in right now at HRRN on Twitter. Busy second half of the show. B. Wayne Hughes going to be with us in just about 20 minutes or so. We're going to look back on that victory by Beholder in the Breeders' Cup. Distaff will look back on that career that Wayne has had the privilege to be part of as owning Beholder all the way through. And then, of course, Phil D'Amato joining us at the end of the show around 9:45 Eastern time. He'll look back on Obviously's win in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. And I mentioned the emotional element to that story, Jude. Phil D'Amato coming up under Mike Mitchell, Mike passing away, and now he, of course, inherited a lot of Mike's horses, including Obviously. Obviously making his fifth consecutive start in the Breeders' Cup and the fifth time's the charm for him.
Yeah, that was kind of exciting, bittersweet, enjoyable to see. Obviously a fan favorite in California. And how about Shay LaPerue, Mike Mitchell's daughter? They win the race with Obviously, and then Julian comes back the next race and wins the juvenile. So yeah. It was like what a special hour for her, hour and 15 minutes, whatever it was, between posts. But I mean, that's just got to be a fantastic day for her to remember.
That was a great race.
Yeah.
Obviously going shortening, I guess you'd say, from the mile, and you look at Obviously his past performances, and it's a mile, it's a mile, it's a mile, it's a mile. And all of a sudden, you go 6.5 furlongs, and he wins. It was great. That's what I'd love to hear, Phil, what the reasoning was there, why they decided. I mean, I realize in the sprint that it's probably a little easier pickings, maybe.
Well, yeah, the mile was so tough.
Yeah, the mile was extremely tough.
And he'd run in the mile four times and gotten beat.
Right.
So I think they were looking for a little bit different, idea. Yeah. It turned out to be perfect.
It was perfect.
It was actually kind of surprising because speed horses don't often do well down the hill. I mean, horses that make the lead.
Right.
You know, but, wow. Well, it was good to see. I mean, you know, I love old horses anyway. I think, you know, they don't get enough credit, and, for him to win, finally get the job done. And it was nice that, you know, Mike's family was there, and just a great day.
Yeah. 8-year-old Gelding is obviously, and now has raced on the downhill turf course at Santa Anita 4 times and 2 wins and 2 seconds. So maybe this is a bit of a specialty for obviously. He's very good at a mile. We know he's run some big races, won the poker at Belmont earlier this year, going a flat mile. But maybe this is something that just seems to fit him. And it'll be interesting. He's an 8-year-old gelding, so he could keep running next year and come back and defend his crown at Del Mar, right? There's no reason to think that we couldn't see obviously again.
Yeah, it's amazing how resilient he's been and as fast as he is. Usually fast yes. horses don't last that long, but as fast as he is, I mean, to outrun all those good horses down the hill like that at 8 years old and get the job done, just phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. And Jude, you alluded to the downhill course at Santa Anita, and that certainly was a handicapping angle looking for horses that have run that course, because it is a little different. Mm-hmm. You know, they come down the hill, they go right and then left, and you know, it's a different.
Yeah, you have to be kind of athletic, and you have to be able to handle the downhill thing. And sometimes horses, especially the speed horses, they get going faster than they usually go, and they get a little tired. But no mistakes there. The whole thing was flawless for obviously, and we all like Celestine evidently, but Joel Rosario opted to take her back for some unknown reason, and she never was in the race, unfortunately.
How about this? Obviously, and this is one I didn't see coming, the only winning favorite in 13 championship races over the 2 days.
Yeah.
Obviously, who would have thought going into it, he was going
to be the favorite.
Right. 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 Yeah. That was as surprising as anything. And then to have him actually, you know, go out and vindicate those low odds.
Yeah.
Just an incredible story. I mean, who would have thought it would be obviously, if you were going into the Breeders' Cup, you would have seen horses like Songbird and California Chrome, other favorites that looked like they were pretty solid favorites. We talked about that during the week. And to have obviously be the one that emerges as the only favorite to win, pretty incredible. That's what makes the Breeders' Cup the Breeders' Cup.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it was a great race. And Jude, you've trained at Santa Anita and probably trained off that course. Does it bother the horses when they go from the grass to the dirt and back to the grass?
Once in a while, you'll have a horse that will jump. They'll think it's water or something, an obstacle. And horses see something ahead of them, and then they have to remember where that is if they're going to jump. And so it's something that they see ahead of them, and then they're gauging, right, because they're not looking down at it. They're looking ahead. So they have to gauge where that is, and they jump. And the first time I won a graded stakes, a 100 grander, my horse jumped at the dirt. And then all the horses behind him, they saw him jump, and they started jumping.
Oh, they jumped too.
Yeah. Right. There were like 4 or 5 of them that actually jumped because they thought, oh, there must be water there. Or there must be something we need to jump. And so it was very interesting.
That is interesting.
Let me ask you guys about another race that we had a chance to see. We haven't touched on it yet, but that's the Filly Amer Turf. And this was all about Lady Eli. She went to the post as the favorite, and she was one that looked like she had a big chance to do something extremely special considering everything she had gone through to get back to the Breeders' Cup again this year. She ran her eyeballs out, just couldn't match strides with Queen's Trust, the European. But Lady Eli, take nothing away from her. She ran an unbelievable race in that Filly Amer Turf.
Yeah, well, you know, we had Alistair Donald from the International Racing Bureau on our show earlier in the week, and Alistair had said that Queen's Trust was flying under the radar. And when you looked at her form, it was really pretty solid. And she was a good price. And you had Frankie Dettori. There were lots of things to like about her. Plus, she got an unbelievably good trip. But Lady Eli, I don't think she lost anything in defeat. I mean, she ran a winning race. She just got beat by a filly who was really sharp on the day and loved the firm ground.
Yeah, Lady Eli, just incredible story with everything that she went through with the laminitis and then nearly dying and then coming back to the races and getting back to this point. Number one, just to be back in this position, Clark, for any horse is incredible after what she went through. And then to run the way that she did, tip your hat to Lady Eli.
Absolutely. You've got to give her credit and give her connections credit for getting her back. You know, a horse comes off laminitis, you think if the best they're going to do is head to the breeding shed, you know, maybe be out in a paddock somewhere, but to actually come back and be able to train and then get back to, you know, running second in the Breeders' Cup is amazing to me. I've never heard of anything like that happening before.
Yeah, she was pretty amazing, and the good news is she's going to race again next year. So that's exciting too, because she's a very good filly and probably lead that division.
Could you make a case? We asked people to weigh in on their performance of the Breeders' Cup at HRN on Twitter. We want to hear from you. What was, in your opinion, the performance of this year's Breeders' Cup? How about the ride of the Breeders' Cup? I know we talk about Mike Smith and Arrowgate, and you heard Bob Baffert in the first half of the program talking about how he just laid back and then let Arrowgate get into that long stride of his and able to get past California Chrome. What about Highland Reel and Seamus Heffernan, who ends up taking that field wire to wire? How masterful was that ride going a mile and a half?
It was a thing of beauty. You know, Seamus Heffernan is a world-class rider, and he stole that race. And he obviously, not to, every time I say obviously, I laugh. he obviously knew he was going downhill the first part of the race, and he took full advantage. I mean, here's a guy that really gave some thought to what he was going to do, right? At least that's how I'm supposing it to be. Maybe
explain that for a minute, because people are thinking, what's he talking about going downhill? It's a mile and a half. This isn't a European turf course.
Well, it is actually. It's very much a European style turf course. And at the starting pole for the mile and a half is right when the horses would be turning right if they're coming down the hill.
Yep.
In this case, when you're going a mile and a half on the turf at Santa Anita, you're going into the left-hand turn. And so you've got a little bit of a run, but you know, if you have speed and you don't have to work very hard, you can steal away. And that's exactly what Heffernan did. He broke out. He kind of made the lead. And going a mile and a half, there a lot of times there's people are not in a rush to get to the front. It's, you know, a lot of people think a mile and a half, I want to save something. So he just asserted himself very lightly, made the lead, opened up, and kept opening up. It was a beautiful, beautiful ride. My main concern was when they came to the dirt, and I go, is this horse going to handle going across the dirt? And you'll see riders warm horses up back and forth across the dirt so they get used to it and they can actually see it. And he handled that perfectly. And once he got onto the main turf course, I said, this horse is going to be super tough because he's got a pretty much an insurmountable lead. And he's a world-class horse. It's not like he's going to die in a pile because he went too fast early. He was cruising very easily. When he came by the wire the first time, I mean, he was in hand. And I thought right then that he probably had the race won, and it was really a beautiful ride.
That's what it looked like to me. Other than what you just talked about, Jude, and that's it's a mile and a half, and I'm watching this horse, and he's just effortlessly loping along, putting distance between himself and the other horses. You see that a lot in races, especially distance type races, and then all of a sudden they're getting reeled back in. Well, Highland Reel, pardon the pun, never got reeled back in.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, he just kept going.
And the turf was firm, and, you know, the San Anita turf course can be a little bit conducive to speed, a little bit more than a lot of turf courses. Horses, it's very fair. Horses can come from off the pace as well. But to have that big of a lead without really expending a lot of energy. I mean, that was the key.
Right.
Is he didn't have to use him to make the lead. And it's like everybody else was taken back and he's just like nursing him along on the front and drawing away. And that's a huge advantage on the San Anita turf course.
Yeah.
Man. It was a great race.
Yeah. Great race. Great ride by Seamus Heffernan, and congratulations to all the connections of Highland Reel. For those of you wondering, we told you Brad Green from Washington Hay Company was going to be with us in this segment. We have tried to reach him. He said there was a chance he might be in a bad cell phone area this morning. That's obviously the case. So not going to be joined by Brad this morning, but we can tell you that if you are looking for that top quality hay and for straw, there is only one place to go. You give Brad a call. It's Washington Hay Company in Georgetown. And especially for those of you at the sales right now, he's been very, very busy. He was telling me yesterday, very busy with all of the horse farms here in Central Kentucky, and would love to come out to the consignments as well and take care of all your needs. So make sure you give him a call, and nobody better than Brad Green. And the straw and the hay there is simply spectacular at Washington Hay Company. Clark, before we get to our blood horse news update, Wayne Hughes is going to join us right around 9:23 Eastern time. I mentioned, you know, you in studio with us here as a guest co-host, but you're with Kentucky Bank. Kentucky Bank has been a supporter of this program for a very, very long time, as you have too, my friend. And for people that are tuning in, they're in Central Kentucky. They're looking for some place to invest their money, somebody to handle some of that for them. Tell me what Kentucky Bank can do for them.
Well, Mike, we have a great wealth management department with a great staff. We do our homework on investments. A lot of people think, well, this is a community bank in Paris, Kentucky. You know, how do they get the research? Well, we get our research actually from Northern Trust in Chicago. Northern Trust manages billions of dollars. Their research area is excellent. They actually have people out, you know, visiting the companies and kicking the tires, as it were. And so we're able to utilize them. We utilize a you know, several other research areas. We put together our investment models with individual stocks, mutual funds, and we've been very successful with that. It's we have some great clients. We have names that because of I can't really mention them. They
sure.
probably don't want to be discussed on the radio, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but people would know them. They are horse people.
People would know them.
Right.
People would know them, and you know, some very good names, and they're very happy with us. We and we enjoy what we're doing.
What about a young person just getting started? Do you have a program for them where they could start putting a few bucks away, even if it's a small amount?
Absolutely. Yes, we do. We have a brokerage arm, and I think, Jude, that's a good point. One of the things that I think gets overlooked oftentimes are the younger people that are starting to get a little bit of money. They don't know exactly what to do with it, but they have great potential as they go along. And those are the people that we would like to get to know and help them along to get started in the investment area. So, you know, the sooner you start putting money away and investing it and kind of forgetting about it, you know, I shouldn't say forget about it, but, you know, you don't want to be using that money to pay your utility bills. This is money you want to put away for long term. You know, the sooner you start doing that, the better it is.
Yeah, even like $20 or something. I mean, you know, you yeah. if you can afford to put $20 a week away when you're, you know, 21 years old, you won't have to have any worries when you retire when you're 65.
That's right.
Going to keep growing.
The magic
and growing
of
growing.
Compounding,
right?
And interestingly enough, we'll call the millennial generation, which would be that younger group, seems to be ultra conservative. And what I try and tell them is that if you look at the history of the stock market, yes, there's some volatile times in the markets. But over time, and if you're looking in your 20s and 30s and you're looking ahead to when you're 50, 60, 70, that's where you're going to make money if you don't panic. And people, of course, tend to panic when the market goes down and they sell at the wrong time and they buy at the wrong time. And that's the kind of thing that we at Kentucky Bank try to educate and say, you know, look, You have to be patient. And a good example, and I don't know how much time you want me to take here, Mike, but with the election, when it became obvious, or at least somewhat obvious, excuse me, that Donald Trump was going to win, the stock futures just fell off a cliff. And it looked like it was going to be ugly worldwide. Well, the market was open about 20 minutes yesterday, and it went from red to green.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's...
Closed at an all-time high.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, close to it, yeah. Yeah, well, you can get a hold of Clark Kentucky Bank. And, again, if you're in the business, the horse industry, Clark's a horse person. They want to take care of you, so make sure you do that. And, yeah, Clark, really appreciate everything you've done to support this program over the years.
Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. You guys do a great job, and loved listening to you, and loved watching you on the video at Santa Anita.
Boy, that was a bold move by Breeders' Cup to put us on TV. The whole face for radio thing was really tested.
We all had to shave and look halfway respectable. We couldn't come in our jammies.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. All right, Dwayne Hughes coming up in 5 minutes or so. So it is time now for your Blood Horse News Update, brought to you, of course, by BloodHorse.com. Well, let's focus on some stallion news, shall we? How about Kitten's Joy? His fee will remain at $100,000 again this year. Ramsey Farm announced November 9th that its flagship stallion, Kitten's Joy's fee, will remain unchanged at $100,000 for the 2017 breeding season. The leading turf sire in America for 4 years running, Kitten's Joy is the sire of three Grade 1 winners in 2016, including Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf victor Oscar Performance, who marked the fourth time that a son or daughter of Kitten's Joy captured a Breeders' Cup race. And Haynesfield will stand at Rancho San Miguel in California. Grade 1 winning millionaire Haynesfield has been acquired by Climax Stallions, a new venture of Bob and Sean Feld, and will be relocated to Rancho San Miguel for the 2017 breeding season. Sean Feld saying that, "We are very excited to offer Haynesfield, the leading son of Spitestown, to California breeders. Spitestown is quickly becoming a sire of sires, allowing Haynesfield and the Spitestown line a chance to really thrive on the West Coast." And that's your Blood Horse News Update, brought to you by Blood Horse Magazine, the thoroughbred industry's premier weekly publication, celebrating 100 years of covering racing, breeding, news, and more. If you're not reading Blood Horse, don't miss another issue. Sign up today at bloodhorse.com/subscribe. B. Wayne Hughes from Spendthrift Farm coming up next to look back on that memorable run by Beholder in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and we'll talk to him about a couple of new stallions joining their roster here in 2017. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mark your calendars for the 4th Annual Land of Enchantment Day on Wednesday, November 23rd from Zia Park. 12 thoroughbred and quarter horse stakes races worth more than $1.6 million in purse money. Featured races are the $300,000 Zia Park Oaks, the $200,000 Zia Park Derby, and the $150,000 Zia Park Championship. First post is 12:15 p.m. Mountain Time, 2:15 Eastern. Horse Racing Radio Network is the exclusive radio host for the Land of Enchantment card and Penn Gaming Racing Challenge.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic producing sire and the sire of a Breeders' Cup sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fung pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fung's the leader. Dre Fung has won.
In addition to Grade 1 Breeders' Cup sprint and King's Bishop winner Dre Fung, Gio Ponti is also represented by Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Parou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings have been well received in 2016. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
A two-year-old debut winner.
Danza and Permanent Captain streaking under the line together, and Danza wins
by a hard-fought half length.
A grade one winning and classic place three-year-old.
Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by five.
Danza, new for 2016 at Spendthrift Farm. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Oh my goodness, look at Frosted today! Frosted's 10 in front! Frosted is absolutely rubbed in the Met Mile!
Frosted absolutely annihilated his competition in that Grade 1 Met Mile victory. His 14 and a quarter length win resulted in a new stakes record, and his 123 buyer speed figure is the highest in 2016, with Arrowgate's 122 and 120, and California Chrome's fourth highest at 119, making Frosted your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. A multiple Grade 1 winning son of champion sire Tappet, Frosted earned more than $3.1 million and is a graded stakes winner in both the United States and Dubai. A winner of the Grade 1 Wood Memorial at 3 and historic Whitney Stakes at 4, Frosted is Tappet's highest earner in North America and stands at Darley for $50,000 stands and nurses. Learn more about Frosted and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As Beholder follows the undefeated three-year-old Songbird around the far turn, and she's being asked to loom closer now by Stevens, and she does so willingly. In fact, she zooms up level at the quarter pole, and Stella Wind is trying to get into the race about four lengths out of it presently. Songbird's the leader. Songbird facing her moment of truth past the 3/16th pole. Beholder is ahead back on the outside. Then comes Forever Unbridled, who's making a splash. Stella Wind is not in the hut. Beholder and Songbird, a soul-stirring duel. Forever Unbridled, two lengths back third. Songbird and Beholder. Beholder and Songbird, a cliffhanger that could go either way. Beholder or Songbird, Forever Unbridled third and Stella Wind fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and special guest co-host Clark Nyberg from Kentucky Bank in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. That was Michael Rona with the call of last Friday's Breeders' Cup Distaff, a soul-stirring battle, as he called it. I thought that was appropriate. Beholder, in her final career start, edges out the undefeated champion three-year-old filly. That is Songbird, and in doing so, Beholder joins Goldakova as a three-time Breeders' Cup winner. Congratulations to her. She races, of course, in the colors of B. Wayne Hughes Spendthrift Farm, and B. Wayne Hughes is with us now here on the Equine Forum. Wayne, welcome to the program, my friend.
No.
Wayne, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Glad to, you got my blood pumping with that replaying the race.
Well, you know, it's funny because I saw you walking out with your team after that particular race on Friday, and I said, "Mr. Hughes, I need to shake your hand," and you did. And then I said, "How's the old heart holding up?"
Yeah, no, it was very exciting race and exciting day for us. We were lucky.
I got to give you credit, too, for going to In-N-Out Burger to celebrate. That was a touch of class right there.
Yeah, they blamed that on me. Actually, it was some of the guys here that had not been out to California before, and they'd been hearing about In-N-Out. And so, but they said that they had to go because I wanted to go there. But I do like In-N-Out, so it was okay.
Wayne, put me in the stands with you. And for those of us who have never had the opportunity to have a horse like Beholder and to have a horse storming down the stretch in a race like the Breeders' Cup Distaff, put me in the seat with you watching that stretch run. What was it like?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm unable to really say because I was a little numb while that was going on. And I believe I may have closed my eyes right at the finish line, so I'm probably the worst person to get a report on it. I can tell you that it was very exciting, and And mostly more than anything else, I'm just proud to be, you know, involved in racing and have a horse like Beholder. I mean, she is something really special. And you know, I mean, I'm 82 years old. I don't expect I'll ever have another one like that. And so I'm just thankful to her for being what she is.
You've developed a special relationship with her, as has your trainer Richard Mandela. You guys really seem to love her and treat her as part of the family.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can tell you this, Richard. He's on my not so good list right now because I called him. I said, "When the hell are you going to send Beholder?" He said, "Oh, well, not right away."
It's a struggle, huh?
I can't get my horse out here, and you know he's I have a picture of him laying in the stall with her, and he's feeding her candy. I mean, it's the darndest thing. So his relationship's much closer than mine. I mean, I haven't gotten in the stall laid down with her like he has.
Wayne, this is Clark Nyberg, and you kind of answered my question. And I have seen that picture with Richard laying in the stall with her. So has he told you when he is going to send her? Is he just saying,
he hasn't told me.
No, okay.
And I've asked him, you know, two or three times. And, you know, so, I mean, I don't know. He said, well, I don't think we should send her right away. I said, well, that, you know, right away is already passed.
Yeah, there were horses in the sale that ran in the Breeders' Cup. They've been sold already.
Well, yeah,
you may need to get the sheriff over there.
Yeah, no, something has got to happen. It's just amazing. But anyway, I'm very proud to be part of her connections, and I don't really deserve any credit. I didn't do anything except yell and root for her to win. We caught a Songbird is really a very, very impressive filly, and we caught her, and it was at one heck of a race. Two champions racing. I mean, I remember Pete Carroll saying that you can't be a champion if you don't defeat champions. And that basically was really what happened. It was very exciting.
Wayne, you think about what Spendthrift Farm has been through, the emotional roller coaster over the past couple of years with Beholder, where 2 years in a row she's pointing for the Breeders' Cup, and because of one reason or another, you have to scratch her kind of at the last minute and take her out of the Breeders' Cup. And then this year, you're pointing for the sprint with a horse like Lord Nelson, who is now going to stand at Spendthrift Farm. And 2 days before the race, he comes up with a cut on his leg and has to be scratched. And then to be back on top of the mountain again with Beholder on Friday, this has really been an emotional roller coaster the past couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's right. I've had three contenders scratched at the last minute from Breeders' Cups. It's very unnerving, Richard Mandela, he went ahead and won the sprint anyway with his second tier horse there. And I probably shouldn't call a second tier horse, just say his second choice.
Yep.
And so he did great. What a day he had. I said Richard, I meant Baffert.
Yeah.
And he had one heck of a day, and he always seems to have special days. And so I was glad to see that he wasn't punished by Lord Nelson not being in the race.
Talking with B. Wayne Hughes of Spendthrift Farm here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Wayne, tell me a little bit about Lord Nelson, a very fast horse. He is a record-setting three-time Grade 1 winner and now the newest member of that stallion roster at Spendthrift. Tell me a little bit about him.
Well, the reason I like him and I think he is going to be has a good chance of being success is that he's by Pulpit. And Pulpit, you know, is probably the best sire maker ever. I mean, he has Tappet and many, many other great sires, and so I'm just we're very exciting. And also, if you could see him, and I'm sure you will when he gets here, he is as good looking as any horse you're gonna see. And speed, he has that, and that's the one thing that is you can sort of have a pretty good chance of passing on through the breeding. So we're delighted. I'm delighted to have him. I mean, our stallion roster is getting stronger every year, and so I mean he's a very good prospect, and he was able to prove out that he was a good by winning these last three grade ones. So there really isn't any economic loss other than the purse. Well, maybe there is some in a small amount, but he's proven himself to be, really a champion sprinter.
Your stallion roster has been getting better and better as time goes on, and you have the tremendous Share the Upside program that you pioneered. What's the key to finding these great stallions?
I Ned Toffee and Seth Simpkin get the credit for finding them and continuously investigating the opportunities that are there.
Wayne, before we let you go, only a minute or two left before we have to get to our next commercial break here this morning, but there's another new stallion that's new for 2017 at Spendthrift that I want to touch on and get your comments. You talk about sire power with a horse like Pulpit with Lord Nelson, but how about Giant's Causeway, who is the sire of Brody's Cause, who is going to be standing at Spendthrift for 2017?
Yeah, well, I mean, Brody's, I mean, well, first of all, he's a good stallion. Brody's Cause is a it could actually be as good as they come. We really like him. He's a nice looking horse and a grade one winner. And, he's shown that he has ability and he has a good shot of being a good stallion right now. You know, like everybody else, we don't know, but we have faith. We're going to breed a lot of our mares to him as we normally do to our new stallions.
B. Wayne Hughes with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Wayne, as always, it's a pleasure to catch up with you every time we have a chance here on the radio. Thank you for all of your support of what we do here on the network. We can't do it without your support. We appreciate that, and all the best moving forward, and congratulations again on that memorable performance by Beholder.
Well, thank you, and call Richard Mandela, would you, please?
Yeah. We'll get right on that.
Okay. Yeah, get Beholder home.
She has a date with Uncle Mo, if we understand.
She does. Wayne, we appreciate it, my friend. All right, B. Wayne Hughes with us here on HRRN. And Clark, you're right, she does have a date with Uncle Mo. They will breed Beholder to champion Uncle Mo, who stands at Coolmore. How much is that foal worth?
Pick any number, as Trevor Denman would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Bemolder?
Yeah. Behold Mo.
All right, we're not going to let you guys pick out any names.
Yeah, I would not be good at that in that role. All right, we're going to get to another break. We'll come back. We'll continue to look back on the 2016 Breeders' Cup, and we'll do it with trainer Phil D'Amato, who won the turf sprint with Obviously. That's right. Coming up on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family.
If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stephan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire. DeVisadero with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by three.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world class.
Tarif takes him on, and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards. Hawkfield just going on to win the Eclipse.
Kitten's Joy. A world-class sire, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Obviously by a length to Pure Sensation, hooking across his heels, Holy Loop two lengths back third from Mongolian Saturday, Ambitious Brewers wider from Home of the Brave and Carrar, and Washington DC making ground along the rail. 3/16 to go, and obviously clear from Pure Sensation, several more lengths to Holy Loop. Washington DC on the inside is next from Om, obviously is the leader, two lengths still from Pure Sensation. Om is coming home fast, it's obviously Om is rocketing to the wire, obviously needs the line, it's close, obviously Orom from Pure Sensation, and either Calgary Cat or Green Mask for the fourth spot.
Mike Pennant, Jude Feld, Clark Nyberg in our Lexington studios. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Michael Rona with the call of the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and the fifth time the charm for obviously the 8-year-old gelding who finally breaks through in his fifth Breeders' Cup appearance. He becomes the fifth horse to start in five consecutive world championships. Every one of those horses, with the exception of one, has won a Breeders' Cup race. Can you name the one horse that did not win a Breeders' Cup race that started five times?
That would be Terry Finley's horse.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
How many times did he start?
Not five.
Not five.
Not five. Next year might be five.
Okay.
Yeah, Twilight Eclipse is the one you're thinking of. It was actually, believe it, I knew you wouldn't get it. It was actually Perfect Drift,
oh,
who competed in five consecutive classics from 2002 to 2006. Murray Johnson.
Murray Johnson.
Yeah. Yep. Well, one thing's for sure, obviously is now a Breeders' Cup winner. He was the only favorite to win in the 13 championship races, and his trainer, Phil D'Amato, is with us now from California. Phil, thanks for getting up early with us, my friend.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, congratulations on that huge, huge effort. We played the stretch call there. Take me back to that moment and tell me about watching, obviously, storm down the stretch.
You know, I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better position to be in. I thought maybe with so much speed in there, we'd probably be sitting second, third, fourth early, and I didn't think we'd kind of have the lead after a quarter of a mile, but Flavian asked him out of there, and he kind of, after a few strides, he just kind of rocketed to the front. And when we had like two lengths going down the hill with his ears up, I couldn't have asked for a better position to be in. And the jockey told me his strategy. He thought the rest of these guys would kind of be taken back when they made that first jump or holding them crossing the dirt. And he said as soon as he saw the dirt, he was just going to send them. And if you watch the race, he just kind of flawlessly got over the dirt and kind of opened up a length or two, and I think that made all the difference in the race.
Yeah, it was a masterful ride, and, you know, horses don't win a lot going wire to wire down the hill, but, I mean, how cool was that? That was, like, one of the coolest races ever, to have an 8-year-old horse, to have a horse that you know, Mike used to train, that you've taken over and done such a great job with, and just the whole thing, it was like surreal watching it. I mean, I don't know what you felt like, but it was almost like an out-of-body experience. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, no, it really was. I mean, there's so much backstory to this horse. I mean, I could go on forever, but I, you know, through my old boss and mentor, Mike Mitchell, that was the first year he sent me over with his son-in-law and Jamie Lloyd, Craig Roundswell as well, to go over to Tattersall's and pick out a couple Euros to bring over here. So it was my first trip over to England, period. And, we took this guy home first time out over there, and he campaigned for Mike and was a grade one winner for Mike. And after his passing, he passed the baton over to me with this guy. And he was my first grade one winner as well. And we always wanted to win a Breeders' Cup. Most of the time when we were in there, we were 20-30-1, you know. But, this guy was like winning the Breeders' Cup for both of us, you know. So it was very, very special.
How much were you thinking of Mike Mitchell when you were in the winner's circle and you're, you know, standing there when obviously after the race?
Yeah, no, I think about him all the time. But yeah, I mean, I was talking to him after the race, you know, it's just extra special, and this horse, he just deserves it. He's just a horse that he lays his body down every single time. And, you know, most of the time he kind of takes a couple of months after, his races to get back on track and be 100%. And it just so happened that I gave him so much time between his previous race in that City of Hope mile. I mean, he came out of that City of Hope like it was a good workout for him, and I thought he might get knocked out after that race, but no such thing. I mean, he came back. It was almost like, you know, surreal. He came back on the top of his game, and we won the Breeders' Cup, you know, 3 weeks later.
Mike, this is Clark. I'm sorry. Phil.
I'm over here,
that's
Clark.
Right. I'm looking at Mike and talking to Phil. Phil, anyway, this is Clark Nyberg, and looking at obviously his past performances, it's, you know, obviously, pardon the pun, at a mile. And what made you decide to cut back to 6.5 furlongs?
You know, I mean, this after we got beat the fourth year in a row in the mile, we thought, okay, you know, we had seen the previous editions of the turf sprint, and maybe those fields were just a tad easier, and we just thought he'd run down the hill before. He's getting up there in years. While he's still, in our eyes, you know, a top performer, we thought our best chance at the Breeders' Cup was the turf sprint, you know, and we kind of had this in the back of our minds for a while, and just kind of just worked out.
It certainly did work out, and congratulations. It was a great race.
Thank you.
Do you think you're going to keep him running down the hill now?
You know, I still think, especially in spots in California, I can run him, you know, two turns. But definitely good to have that option available. And we'll just kind of mix it up, I think, as long as he tells us, he's ready to go for his 9-year-old campaign and go from there.
Think about what you just said, Phil. Ready to go for his 9-year-old campaign. You talk about a throwback type of horse. Obviously, certainly fits the bill.
Yeah, he really does. And I give a lot of credit not only to just the horse and good genetics, but his owners. You know, Joe Scardino and Tony Fanicola, they're great owners. They let Mike do whatever he wanted, and they let me do it. You know, and if it's run them 4 times a year, then so be it. And I think just having that ability to do that and freshen them up every time, and you know, it's not like every horse needs that, but for the most part, this horse did, and they're very, you know, they're just very gracious and just let me do what I want, you know, and for that, we've had really good results with them, with all their horses.
They're longtime thoroughbred owners, and they must have just been over the moon with that victory.
It really were, and this is extra special for them. It was their first Breeders' Cup as well. And you know, their whole families, our families, we all love this horse. He's just extra special to us, and you know, they're all fighting over him for his retirement. But hopefully, you know, who's going to get him at the end of the day when it is all said and done. But we're all geared up to hopefully have a good 9-year-old campaign with one more try at the Breeders' Cup.
Talking to trainer Phil D'Amato here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, one of several trainers to earn their first Breeders' Cup victory here in 2016, and no doubt the first of many more to come for the D'Amato Barn. Phil, I'm going to put you on the spot here just a little bit. We have a poll question out there this morning, and we're asking people to weigh in on Twitter as to what their performance of the Breeders' Cup was. In their opinion, what was the performance of the Breeders' Cup? Now, take obviously out of the mix, because I know what your answer is going to be there. Without obviously, that was such a good Breeders' Cup, so many close races, so many great storylines that unfolded the way we thought they might. What was the performance of the Breeders' Cup?
Man, it's pretty close between both of those nightcaps on both days. But, you know, I would say just sentimentally, I would say Beholder, because she had gotten beaten twice. Running against up against an undefeated 3-year-old in Songbird, and you know, she this was her last race, and she made the most of it. I mean, she just got up in the last jump, and I thought that was an exciting, extra special moment, and for all the connections, and I'm my barn's next to Dick Mandela, and I, you know, I see how well he takes care of that mare every day, and how special she is, and I thought that was the race.
Yeah, B. Wayne Hughes was just telling us in the previous segment that he's still waiting for Beholder to get back here. Richard hasn't sent her back yet. He keeps laying in the stall feeding her peppermints. I'm sure you can relate to that one, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah, that you know, to go out on top of their game like she did, I mean, and man, she beat the best of the best. It's a tough one there, and kudos to Dick for a masterful training job with her.
So, Phil, B. Wayne Hughes wants you to take a message over to Mr. Mandela, and since you're right next door, say, would you send my horse back to me, please?
Actually, I think he'd like you to take a shank over there and just get her and put her on a van.
I could find a stall for her.
There you go. I don't think he'd object to that either.
She's just extra special, and just watching Dick train her, I mean, she gets all the extra special attention she needs, and that made all the difference in that mare. Just hats off to him and the connections for that.
Well, Phil, certainly appreciate the time here this morning. Congratulations again on that first Breeders' Cup victory. We're going to look forward, hopefully, to seeing obviously back again in 2017 to defend that title, and all the best moving forward, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. I had a good time.
All right, Phil D'Amato, like all of our guests who appear on the program, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the official apparel of the horse racing lifestyle, and you can embrace your passion and your style at embracetherace.com.
Wear what you love.
Wear what you love and embrace the race. So many people commented on our Embrace the Race caps that we were wearing throughout Breeders' Cup week, and our thanks to Mike D'Anzaris and the entire team at Embrace the Race. By the way, Mike will be joining us as we get closer to Christmas, because those are oftentimes great gifts for people that are horse racing fans. You can go to embracetherace.com. It's a great gift idea. They have so many great things for the horse racing fan on your list. So we'll catch up with Mike here in the next few weeks.
And I've got my HRN Embrace the Race cap on.
You do. It looks good.
It looks good. Yeah. Listeners can't see it. But
matching yellow Keeneland sweater.
That's right. Yeah. Got a matchup.
He's a fashion plate, this guy. You can tell why he's a banker.
Yeah, he certainly is. Always looking good is Clark Nyberg. By the way, speaking of Christmas, right? Now, we're not even to Thanksgiving yet. We're not even close to Thanksgiving. I happened to be make a rare appearance in the mall yesterday, and I'm hearing Christmas carols in the mall. Christmas songs playing already. We're not even to Thanksgiving, people. That to me is appalling.
Mike, they've been playing Christmas carols on the radio since before Halloween, which...
That's insane.
It is. And
way too early for that. Yeah. Believe me, I love Christmas music, but let's wait till we get past Thanksgiving then.
Yeah,
start
that would be much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I had to mention that. To me, it's just bizarre.
Wow.
It is bizarre, but...
It's a way of the world. The world is bizarre.
I guess it is. All right, well, we want to thank all of our special guests who joined us here this morning. Our thanks to Jenny Reese, first of all, who supplied those interviews with Hall of Famer Bob Baffert and with Mark Cassie that we brought your way in the first half of the program. If you did miss those interviews or any of this show, simply head back to horseracingradio.net and check out the podcast of this program and all of our shows. They're all there for you, horseracingradio.net. Our thanks to B. Wayne Hughes from Spendthrift for being with us and Phil D'Amato just a short time ago. And again, congratulations to our Barbados trip winner, Evelyn Coompart, who registered as part of that giveaway at Breeders' Cup this year. So pretty cool.
Yeah, congratulations, Evelyn.
On her way
on
to
her
paradise.
Way. Oh, man.
It's funny because we had banners made up that, you know, said, hey, all of our Breeders' Cup coverage is presented by visitbarbados.org. And the banners were posted on the outside of our broadcast tent at Breeders' Cup. And down the bottom was this gorgeous ocean picture that my wife had taken when we were there for the Gold Cup last year. And Jude and I kept staring at it saying, okay, enough's enough.
Exactly.
Gotta go. Gotta go.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun. And yeah, what a great trip. It looked like her area code there might be Los Angeles. So it's going to be a haul, but
yeah,
well worth it.
Yeah, I believe California, New York, and Florida are three of the biggest areas that visitbarbados.org is kind of keying on because there are so many people that travel to Barbados from those areas. So this will make a lot of sense. I think it's pretty easy to get there from California, other than the fact it's a little bit of a longer flight. So yeah, congratulations to Evelyn and to everybody that has come up to us and said, hey, what's this Barbados thing all about? We've generated a lot of interest throughout the year. And you know, we certainly appreciate all the support of the Barbados Tourism Association and, of course, of Gulfstream Park for our Spanish Breeders' Cup coverage. Hablando de Ibismo coming your way on H-A-R-A-R-A-N-A in Espanol.
Not too shabby.
I'm getting there.
You're getting there.
I still can't host that coverage. Still want no part of that. How great was Jose Arturo, by the way, with the call of those races? How cool was that? We posted
Excellent.
A video.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a really cool guy, too. Our Spanish crew is unbelievable. You know, just great. And having Ramon Dominguez part of that group, too.
That was phenomenal.
A smart move.
Yeah.
It
was a smart move on Mike's part. And it was great for Ramon, too, because it gets him back into the swing of racing. And he's such a bright man and such a classy guy. And racing is better off when he's involved in it. And it's great for both parties, I think.
Well, it is a great idea. And you know, my Spanish is muy limitado, but...
Well done.
Thank you. Gracias. But, just for fun, I'd like to listen to some of that.
Yeah, well, it comes up at 10 o'clock Eastern time. You can listen live anywhere in the world on our website, hrnnespanol.com. Roberto Rodriguez, Eloy Vielma, going to look back on the Breeders' Cup, and you can catch that every Saturday morning, 10 to 11 Eastern. We'll also be announcing a Spanish broadcast schedule, race coverage for 2017 coming up in the next few weeks, too.
Yeah, a lot of exciting things going on.
How does the word get down to Venezuela that you've got this going on?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We've received an awful lot of support from a magazine in Venezuela, which is kind of the blood horse of Venezuelan magazines for horse racing. And so we've been very thankful to have them and their support. They've been running ads for us. Jose Arturo, who called the races all in Spanish for Breeders' Cup, is a radio personality in Venezuela, which certainly doesn't help. So he was able, or doesn't hurt. So yeah, doesn't hurt. So he was able to get the word out for us too. So a lot of different support from a lot of different people, and we can't thank them enough.
And a lot of different countries.
Yeah.
You know, we go out to 170 countries, and a lot of those are Spanish-speaking countries. So it's the word's kind of spreading virally about the show. So it's pretty cool.
One step at a time.
That's great.
Yeah. All right, we're back next week with another edition of the Equine Forum. Of course, during the week, you can catch all of our programming coming up, including our Express Bet radio program, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon from 3 to 6 Eastern with the Big A, Anthony Stabile. You can tune into that show, Sirius 219, XM 206, and worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Of course, on Tuesday night, Jock Talk presented by Tito's. Wednesday night, it is our trainer talk show presented by Fasig Tipton. Thursday nights, it's the BrisNet.com call-in show and your chance to call in and talk racing. And on Friday, the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview. So lots of action coming your way this week on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Guys, it's been a fun show. Clark, thanks so much for sitting in.
Mike, Jude, thanks for having me. It was great. Always fun.
All right. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Sean C. with our social media, for Jude Feld and Clark Nyberg, I'm Mike Penna. Hey, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados. Evelyn Coompart is coming.